I'm going to be talking about abundance today, and you know, no matter what topic a sermon is about, the real ultimate subject is Jesus. And I didn't even know this yesterday, but I was doing a little research, and a subject can have many topics, but a subject does not fit within a topic. Topics fit within a subject. And I thought, you know, that's cool. No matter what you're talking about, God can speak to you on any level as long as the word is being preached and Jesus is being lifted up. And as long as you're listening with your heart, God can speak to you about what his will is for your life. But my topic today is going to be abundance. The best person that illustrated abundance is Jesus Christ. Another cool thing that happened yesterday was we stumbled across a movie, a new movie that just came out. It's a Christian movie. I encourage everyone to go rent it. I'd encourage you to buy it on Amazon Prime. It's 10 bucks, but it's Pilgrim's Progress. How many of y'all have read that book? Wow. How many of you have heard of it but not read it? So I had heard about this book many times. I cannot believe I had never read this book. But I learned some really interesting things about it. When we were flipping through, looking at different movies, what caught my eye was in the subject or the description, it said that the movie was banned for 12 years in China. And I was like, ooh, anything that's banned like that must be something that caught my attention. Turns out, for a period of time, it was the second most popular book to the Bible. And I read one source that said it's probably the most popular British literature topic that was ever written. And what it does is it was written by a man who was persecuted for having church services and worshiping, leading others in loving on the Lord outside of the established religion of the day. And so he was in prison for 12 years, and he started writing it while he was in prison. And it's an allegory or a story, and you have to pay attention because every person's name has meaning. The places where he is and where he's journeying through have meaning, but it's a picture of what life is like for the believer. And it was such a blessing to start. We only watched the first 40 minutes. We're going to finish it out this afternoon. Right, Riley? She's excited about it. But along the way, he was telling people, and the whole city that he was living in was under these group called the supervisors, and it was darkness and fear that they used to control all the people living there. And the city was under a curse of decay. Everything was always falling apart, so they had to continuously toil every day just to have basic survival. Does that sound like anything we're familiar with in our world? But then he reads this book that tells him the truth about a good king, and that anyone who will become a part of his kingdom, he'll take care of and provide for, and there'll be no more sorrow, and the streets are paved with gold. And now the negative thing is, I think you could turn it into life as being a journey to heaven. And I don't think I haven't watched the whole thing. I'm not saying that that's what it says, but that was the only negative that I could see coming out of it, because our life is not about a journey to a geographic location. It's about a relationship with a king. But it was so refreshing to see how he talked to people along the way. And he was telling them, hey, you know, we know what this is. This is toil. This is pain. This is hardship. This is, you know, perpetual sorrow. This is joy and no sorrow and peace. And all, which one do you want? He goes, I don't care. I want that. I'm going that way. And people said, you're crazy. But that's what the abundant life that Jesus promises is like. Peace, joy. It's like what Lena was saying. There's so much. He's our portion. It's not treasure in God's kingdom can manifest in physical riches, but it's much more than physical riches. And increase can manifest in tangible material wealth, but it's much more than, and abundance is the same way. So if any of you have any Bible knowledge, what word with abundant comes up to mind when you think about the word abundant or abundance? Is there a verse that pops into your mind from the New Testament? Possibly from the book of John. That's all the clues I'll give you. Jesus said that I came to give life and life more abundantly. By the way, what was so cool even about starting to watch that movie last night is we were able to hit pause and have very meaningful conversations with our kids. And we were explaining the character. He had to make a choice. His wife would not believe him, and he knew that there was danger coming in and they needed to flee, but she didn't want to. So he had to make a choice. Am I going to go after what God is telling me, Or am I going to stay in the familiar and what's comfortable? And he had to leave his wife and children behind because she refused. And we were talking to our kids about the most important person in our lives is Jesus. And next to him is our relationship with each other. And then after our relationship, me and Angie, is our relationship with our children. And after that, it's people outside our family. And we want you to know that we don't love anybody more than Jesus, not even each other. And we don't love you more than we love Jesus. And the abundant life often draws a line of distinction in the sand. It's tangible. It's visible. Like we said, you could have $5 million in the bank, but if you don't have your health, it's not worth anything. The portion that he has for us is much more than just natural things, but there's a line of demarcation in the sand, if you will, between what's really valuable and how it's achieved and what we're often faced with seeking here in the earth's system. And so when I thought about this verse and I thought about Jesus being the subject and what he said about living the abundant life, that verse came to mind. It's John 10:10. And Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and life more abundantly." When I looked up the word, it's got a very cool definition. And so one of the things you'll hear me talking about a lot is treasure hunting. I'm going to give you some clues. This is a great way to do treasure hunting. It's a website called BibleHub.com. And you can punch in any verse, and you can read it in just about any version of the Bible that there is. And you can click on any verse, and you can read it. You can look at each of the words in Greek. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I can't read all the different aspects, but I can go deep enough to see what is the Greek definition of the word abundant. More, greater, excessive, abundant, exceedingly, vehemently, preeminence, advantage, all around excess, more than, abundantly, beyond what is anticipated, exceeding expectation, more abundant, going past the expected limit, more than enough. Said in the John 10:10, and I said in another way, I came in order that they, believers, might continuously have life, and even that they may have it continuously, they may continuously have it all around. See, Jesus came to bring us abundant life all around. Now, again, just like subject and topic, a subtopic of that topic would be financial or material increase and abundance. If you remember the analogy that I used to illustrate what treasure is, it was a thesaurus. Now, I realized after I gave that message a couple of weeks ago that not everybody may know exactly what a thesaurus is, because I didn't know until I experienced it. But this is a collection of words that are similar to other words. So if you want to increase your vocabulary and be able to express or explain things more vividly or interestingly, this is a tool that you can use to see what are other words that are related to the topic that you've got in mind. But what is this? What's the problem with this? It's made of paper. I could lose it. It could be stolen. It could be destroyed. And if I haven't assimilated or learned everything that's in it, then I no longer have that treasure. That's an example of rust and moth and thieves breaking in and stealing. Jesus said, don't treasure up treasures on earth where things are vulnerable to being lost or destroyed, but store your treasures up in heaven. So if I don't use this kind of thesaurus, maybe I could have an internet thesaurus, which is where we all typically use these days. And it wouldn't be a physical in the sense of a piece of paper, but what happens if the internet goes down? What happens if Verizon's towers aren't working that day? You know, I'm dependent. I'm using a cell phone example again. My treasure is not real. I'm not really possessing my treasure because I'm dependent on someone else to give it to me. Storing up treasure in heaven is very similar to learning and storing up inside of me what is contained in this book. The cool thing about Jesus is that he's more than just a bunch of words on paper. He's a person. So when I get him, I get the whole portion. And he said, I'll bring things to your remembrance that you heard in the past, and I'll tell you what you need to speak in the day that you need to speak it. So that's the cool thing that's different about when we're storing up things in heaven, when we're storing up treasures in heaven, it's very much like learning, but really internalizing and increasing And so that when that book is gone or the internet is down, the treasure is inside you. Now, Jesus said something else about himself. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. If you wanted to come live at my house, you would need three things. You would need permission, you would need an address, and you would need directions. Jesus is the GPS or the directions. He's the address, and he's also the reality of what life is. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The abundant life is Christ and is in Christ. He's the way to the Father. He's the experience of a relationship with the Father. He is the only way. He said, no one can come except through me. Just like if you want to live in my house, I've only got one residence. There's only one place you can live if you want to live with me. And when he said he wants to bring abundant life, it encapsulates much more than what we're often aware of. Now, treasures are secrets. In order to possess a treasure, you got to stumble across it. You got to know what's valuable. You got to be willing to pay the price, and you've got to go acquire it. Increase is an extra portion of what you already have. The secret to increase is stewardship. How you manage will determine what more is entrusted to you. Jesus said in Mark 24, the measure that you use, it will be measured to you. The secret of abundance is giving. And if you look at, what does John 3:16 say? Everybody know that one? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish. That's give. There's another give verse that's pretty powerful. If you'll turn to Galatians 2:20. And it's not critical that you know the address, but, or the reference. But what happens when you're, again, without cell phone service or internet access, and you need to stand on the written word? It really does help to know where. And so I just felt like God was giving me an exhortation that to cherish this. Just like in China, this is not an acceptable text to be shared. I mean, if they wouldn't even allow Pilgrim's Progress, how much more powerful and valuable is this written word? But in Galatians 2:20, it says, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and blank himself for me. What do you think the word is? Gave. He's a giver. God's kingdom is full of treasure. And just like using a thesaurus to follow clues to find different words, God's word is full of clues that we can follow. And I'm going to do a separate sermon specifically on giving, but I felt like I wanted to establish just broad ideas first about some of these topics. He is an abundant and extravagant God. There is nothing that is impossible with him. He has more in store for us than what we could even think to go and ask him for. So where a religion would tell us, you know, to be afraid and just be thankful to get in the gates and don't ask for anything more with that, kingdom truth would say, go and enter in and have your portion. He is your portion. He's got more. He's more than enough, and he's got more than you could ever ask for. But a couple of specific examples that I want to continue on with this giving premise. Again, I think giving is a secret of abundance. God gave Jesus. Jesus gave himself so that we could have abundant life. But there's a couple of examples where God gave specific abundance in the natural realm. One is in the Old Testament. Anybody remember a widow? She was in debt. The debtors were coming. They were going to take her son. And all she had was a little bit of oil. And the prophet, Elisha, said, give me that last little bit, which would have totally tweaked CNN. They would have been triggered out the wazoo. You know, I mean, the PC police would have been all over this. How dare you take advantage of a little old widow? But when she stepped out in faith, what happened? As she began to pour the oil, it never ran out. It didn't stop running out until they ran out of vessels to hold the oil. That's an example of abundance. What did it start with? It started with an act of giving. It was unlocked by giving. If she had not given and done what the prophet said, she would not have experienced that. Okay, now in the New Testament, another example of abundance in food, feeding the 4,000 and feeding the 5,000. What happened in both of those situations? Yes, ma'am, you on the second row. That's right. Jesus took a little bit, but he said, what do you have? He asked for what they had. And so somebody had to be willing to say, this is what I've got, and then give it. That's another secret of this whole thing. We're talking about, we're getting our mind around finances and giving and kingdom economics and what does God really want for us. And the importance of all these little details in the Word of God are like little breadcrumbs. And they're there for a reason. The last verse, the last chapter in John says that all these things are written so that you might believe. So all these little clues are important. But again, it's another example of abundance. He started with something that had already been given to them, but they had to be willing to give it back to him. And what happened? He did more than they could have ever asked or thought. So much so that when it was over, there was enough for each of them to take a whole basket full with them. In one example, in one there was 12 basketfuls, and another one there were 7. And there's a prophetic reason behind those numbers. But the big idea, the big point, I mean, is that what he has in mind and what he wants for us is so much bigger than the fears that try to stop us from entering into what he is asking us to do. And if we will take those little steps of faith, if we will begin to follow, okay, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay, just follow what he did. Just start learning to, Jesus was a giver. Okay, learn to be a giver. You know, when I fell in love with my wife, I didn't say, now how many times do I need to talk to her once a week, and how many notes do it, and how many times should I hold her hand, and what do I need to do that's just enough, you know? That wasn't my thinking. My thinking was like, what can I give her, you know? It's like every day after school, I wanted to drive into Houston because she went to the high school I was supposed to, and on every month anniversary, I gave her one flower for every month that we were together, and on our 6-month anniversary, we went on this very extravagant date that some friends of ours at our church helped us put together, and when she went off to college at Baylor University, I made all these extravagant gifts for her, and I was just always thinking of how could I show her that I love her and she's the most important person to me. I would argue that what I gave in the beginning pales in comparison to what I have now. The foundation, the life, the blessings, the richness, the beauty, the family, the legacy, the inheritance. Love gives, and the ultimate example of love is Jesus Christ. He loved so much that he gave, and that's a secret, and that's a little key to, that's the starting point to abundance, is God will take what you give, and he will do more with it than you could ever ask or think. I couldn't have asked for a relationship like I have today with her. I couldn't have said, I want to have children like we have today. I couldn't have asked for a partner and a friend to go through life like I have, like we have. But the little bit that I was able to give, God did more than I could have ever asked or thought. It's the same way. Again, I'm going to go back to this verse of abundantly, going past the expected limit, all around excess, beyond what is anticipated, more than enough, continuously having life and continuously having it all around. Money and finances and material, that's just one part of life. That's not all that abundance has to do with. If you could, I don't even know how you could quantify all the different areas, because it's any area you could think of in life. Jesus has got a plan for that part. And there's a way to enter into the abundance that he has for you. When he multiplied the food and the loaves and the fishes, he did it in a specific way. He asked them for what they had. They gave it. He took it. And then he just gave it out and did miracles. No, he blessed it first. And then blessed means to set it apart. Means, I've heard one minister argue, it's taking it from one kingdom and transferring. It's like going to an exchange house. You take currency and you convert it from one economy into another. And then he began to distribute it. There's a way that he works and he does things. And he doesn't want us to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to miss out. But we also can't communicate everything that he has in store for you in a moment. It takes a step of faith, and then a step of faith, and then a step of faith, and we just keep going. Easy didn't know what the doctor was going to say a year ahead of time. He just knew what his God had already said, and he took a step of faith and a step of faith, and it's a walk of faith. This says the just shall live by faith, not by sight. So my next message, I'm going to talk about giving, some specific principles and secrets on giving, but I wanted to leave us with the big idea. Abundance is more than enough. Increase is like a pitcher of water, but abundance is like having a faucet of water. It's just more than what you need. God wants to give us abundance in every area. Peace of mind. When you have peace and abundance, you can minister peace to other people. When you have wisdom and abundance, you can give that wisdom out. When you're not thinking about how am I going to protect myself and live my life and manage every little thing in my, you're free to think about other people. That's why we owe so much, gratitude to first responders. They're on the front lines thinking about other people. God wants us to be first responders. God wants us to put on display who he is. See, the world can't know him as a father unless they see his relationship with his children. There's no other way he could manifest himself as a father were it not through his children. And he couldn't do that until he did it through his son. So, man, last word of the day for you is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The word in Greek that's being used there, and I want to tell you one other thing. The New Testament was written in Greek. That should really excite you, because Greek is probably the most precise language that has ever existed on the planet. In English, we've got a lot of mushy words that just we misuse and we just throw around. We say, oh, I love hamburgers and I love you and I love, America and I love my kids. But in Greek, there's four different words for love. And so when God spoke and he wanted to have a letter or message recorded for us thousands of years after his son was here, he recorded it in the most precise, specific language so he could get his point across. Now, we're reading translations. So to get into that from that language into our language, there is some dilution. And it takes a little bit of digging to uncover to see what may have been the original intent. This is what the word logos means. A word that embodies an idea, a statement or a speech, a divine utterance, an analogy, speaking to a conclusion, being the expression of a thought. Like an artwork could be an expression of a thought. Word is preeminently used of Christ, expressing the thoughts of the Father through the Spirit. It's a common term throughout the New Testament, and it regards a person sharing a message, but it's in a broad term that means reasoning that is expressed by words. So words convey big ideas. And for Jesus to be the Word in the flesh, everything that he did was putting on display what the Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Jesus gave. Jesus manifested abundance. Jesus ministered from an overflow. When the disciples came to him and said, he said, aren't you hungry? He said, I've got food that you don't even know of. The kingdom of heaven was so real to him in a way. The kingdom of God was so real to him in a way that natural man couldn't comprehend. But that was the reality that he, so again, Jesus is the Word. He came to give us life and life more abundantly. Abundantly encompasses more than you could ever think, but it's every little aspect of life. And Jesus was a giver. God showed us that abundance starts and is integrally involved with giving. And so in my next sermon, we'll be talking about giving and some different aspects of that. But I just want to leave you with the encouragement that God's got so much in store for all of us. And all we have to do is be like little children, be like that pilgrim, listen to the words that he says and start going after it. Follow him. Like Pastor Allen was saying during worship, let's press in, let's declare, let's proclaim. Prayer Wednesday night. We didn't know where we were going to end up at the end of the prayer meeting, but I didn't feel like praying that night. I didn't. I was exhausted. But God did some awesome things. Angie's friend got healed. No matter where our starting point is, the heart position is to say, okay, God, yes, I trust you, and then just take the next step. It may be giving the little bit that you have. It may be going somewhere. It may be saying something. But if we'll give him the little, he'll bring the manifest abundance that we could never even dream of. So, Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word. I know there's a lot of little things to put together sometimes, but going on a treasure hunt involves searching and looking for clues. And it's so awesome when we find the treasure that you have for us. We thank you for being our treasure. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for bringing healing. Thank you for testimonies that we've already seen, and thank you for the more that you want to bring. Thank you for helping us to renew our minds so that we can put on display who you are and what you want. Thank you for calling us your kids. Thank you for letting us show what a good, good Father you are. We thank you so much that there's more to come. And Father, by faith, we say yes right now. Just keep helping us to hear and see what you're doing and saying, and we'll keep saying yes, and we're excited about what you have in store for us. We're excited to be a part of your kingdom. We're excited to be bringing glory to your name. We're excited to be putting on display who you really are. And with that, Father, we say to be continued in Jesus' name. Amen.